you for inviting me, man of God. As always, we begin with Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 and 5. The Lord tells us that the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak. A word is seasoned to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. When we look into the things that God is doing today, I praise the Lord for the opportunity to see that he's still ministering among his people, by his people, in locations and for workplaces and university. You know, I praise the Lord that the Lord has allowed us to work. We've been here, the Lord allowed us to work in Panama. We just came back from Bolivia, the furthest country that at least our ministry has worked in. Now we're getting prepared in Mexico, yet this year alone, I've seen more and more hunger of the people of God here in this land. And that is exciting.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Because I have gone and I praise the Lord preaching in 24 nations, and I've seen the hunger of people. And I said, Lord, if only there was such a hunger like that back home. And yet, just this year in 13 states, I've seen people back at the altar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Back at the altar. A greatest need of desire of asking God, God, move among us, starting from our home onto the outside, but here in this land. And to do that, we have to see about how our Lord is going to be moved as we allow the Lord to move through us in ways outside of the four walls of the church. Which I praise God for this gathering. I praise God for the churches that join together to lift up the name of Jesus. But it is great and mighty when we take Jesus to our workplaces. When we take Jesus to our university. When we take Jesus to the coffee shop. I just heard a testimony from taking Jesus to a near bar, a bar that they were just drinking and people. And the Lord stopped a man of God and says, I got a word of knowledge to go into that bar and speak to somebody that wants to commit suicide. And all of a sudden, all these drunk people are crying, accepting Jesus. The Lord is doing something. But when he does something, he always uses us. And I'm so grateful for that. And the example within the Bible, we know about this within Peter and John. They had just received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they're going back to the temple to offer. We find this in the story of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 3, and we'll be staying there. Book of Acts chapter 3, this is when Peter and John goes unto the temple to pray. But something happened. Something happened because for them, they were changed by the filling of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 3, verse 1 states, and now Peter and John went up together to the temple of the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, who they have laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who have entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, fixing his eyes on him with John. Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive. See, when we are looking to what the Lord has stirred in our hearts, wherever we go, in our workplaces, when we tell people, well, you know, I went to church, this occurred, even though they might not be a believer, their ears turn into you because they want to know, okay, so what is it that you heard that might do something for me? Everybody is expecting something. Yet here we find that Peter and John go and receive of this. And then from there, the Bible tells us, he tells them, then Peter, verse 6, says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. Now, when we look into the first time I experienced this when we walked into, I was working in Miami as a supervisor. We were walking in, and I had just got filled by the Holy Spirit. There was such an excitement. Because in our church, Everybody spoke in tongues except me. So even if I wanted to just repeat what they're saying, I'll get lost. And then the Holy Spirit granted my desire. I was worshiping the Lord and the Holy Spirit filled me. But when I started to minister and start to pray in tongues, I go to my back to my office and there everybody goes out to work and I get excited. I'm gonna pray in tongues in my office. So I start praying in tongues. I'm there typing away with two fingers because I didn't know how to type back then. And I started, and then somebody knocks on the door, and it's one of our employees from our department. And he comes up to me and says, X. He says, see, I did not want to tell you, but a couple weeks ago, I was lifting boxes. Our department was within the labor area of medical records. So there was a lot of heavy boxes. He goes, X, I was picking up a box, and I didn't want to tell you, but I went to a doctor, and they found a hernia. And the hernia was, well, in my privates, in my private part. And I can sit, I cannot lay, I cannot pick up anything because I'm in such a pain. But I need this job. I cannot get fired. He goes, can you put me in another department so then I don't lose my job? I need this job. So I said, okay, let me think about what I could do. So he left the office. So I go back to him. I said, okay, well, I'm going to pray, you know, ask for wisdom, right? So I said, and the Holy Spirit lays in my heart. I thought, you get up and you go pray for him. Now, I was no leader. I was no preacher. I just received the baptism. But when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's for a purpose. Yeah. It's not you just a blabber in the air. It's a purpose why we receive the power of God. You're receiving the power of God for a purpose. So he said, go and pray for him. Now, knowing that he had a hernia in his testicle, I said, well, why not go pray? So I pray again, Ratu shoot to Jesus. I go, that's not the question I asked. You know, say, hey, I go, I want to know where to put him, not to pray for him. And again, go and pray for him. Now the Bible tells us that it was Peter and John. I love this because we understand that Peter was the aggressive. He was the stubborn, the one that took the risk. But in the same time, it was also John, the one that placed his head upon the chest of Jesus, the one that Jesus loved, the one that you could see that was compassionate. There was two dynamics there, one that was aggressive and one that was compassionate. Yet we find here that when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can mobilize even if you might be in those two categories. You might be aggressive or stubborn, I'm just saying. Or you could be compassionate and meek. The Holy Spirit will use you. Amen. See, I was an introvert. Hey, I didn't want to go out and pray. I didn't even know even how to pray. I go, great. That day I miss intercession is the day I need to go and pray. But then the Bible tells us here that when they go up to him and they tell him, look at us in the expectation. So I understand that I need to do something, not just pray. We understand that it has to flow through us. So I went up to him and I said, listen, let's go in the back of the warehouse. He goes, for what? I go, that was all archives boxes that we had. Nobody went there. It was only for archives. I said, listen, let's just go over there. I'm going to pray for you. He goes, well, okay, but we can't pray for right now. I said, no, we're going to pray right there. Nobody's watching. So we began with the expectation. Now, when we begin the first time, now this was the first time that I prayed for somebody else. See, it's different for me to say clearly, you know what, I'm going to pray for you. Anybody could do that. Right. But when you got the Holy Spirit, he wants you to lay hands on the sick for them to recover. Yeah. If you got the Holy Spirit, then there has to be an act upon it. So I took him to the bank, and we're getting together, and we started going, and all these thoughts. When we operate with the Holy Spirit, understand that sometimes you have to discern the voices that go into your thoughts, into your mind, because not all of them is going to be the Holy Spirit. I know that because as I was walking behind them to the back of the warehouse to pray for him, I was hearing voices like, what are you doing? Who do you think you are to go pray for somebody? You're no leader. Who do you think you are, X, for you to pray for them? And I'm thinking, who do I think I am? You know what I'm saying? And all these thoughts. But if you entertain it, you must remember, Lord, it's not about me. It's not about you. Because in the end, Jesus will be glorified. That's one thing that, according to this story, when you read it, he took the action and expectation. And you look about what he himself, Peter didn't say, well, I'll give you what I have. And then he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You see, that's something that Peter knew what he had. And sometimes we stay quiet as Christians. This world cannot have us quiet. This world needs light to come through us. Yeah. The loud voice of God's word to go from our lips to the power of God to flow through our hands. Yeah. So he's saying, listen, I have given you my spirit. I have anointed you so people of mine speak. Yeah. For people are crying out asking, Lord, where are you? And you're standing there with the living God. So as I said, Lord, this is about you. This is not about me. This is about Jesus. Well, we get to the back of the warehouse, and I go back to this story. Well, what would Peter do? What would John do in this situation? Well, he says, and expecting to receive, he tells them, silver and gold do not have. Even that time, they were going through inflation. He goes, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We're getting to the back, and I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to pray. I'm going to get there, and I'm going to go ahead and rehearse all the prayers from the old ladies of the church I was going to that were praying. I was trying to remember everything that they said, and I went blank. When we got there, he tells me, okay, X, now what? So I remember Peter. See, Peter was one that he wanted to get to the point. There's no sugarcoating. There was no buttering on God. Come on. So that's one thing that Peter disrupted. He said, what I have, I'll give to you. So I told him, okay, lift up your hands. Yeah, come on. And we are alone in the warehouse. He goes, lift up your hands. So he lifts up his hands. He says, why am I lifting my hands? I said, I don't know. I've seen it in TV. So just lift up your hands. So he lifts up his hands. And as he has his hands, just like Peter, if you read of Peter, how did he pray? He said, what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What did he need? He needed to rise up and walk. It was a direct prayer. So sometimes we think that to help somebody, we have to make them feel better, feel good. No, let the Holy Spirit make them feel better. Let Jesus make them feel better. Something, oh Lord, you know, I know that they went through this, and we start praying, and we start talking to God instead of praying unto that direct. We have to do like Peter did. Go to direct of the problem. So I told him, what is his problem? He had a hernia in his testicles. So I said, I'm going to lay hands on you. Not there, but I'm going to lay hands on you, on your stomach. And when I lay hands on the stomach, I made it very clear. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, I was repeating Peter. Yeah. What better way to pray than those that prayed and saw an effect? Yeah. And we need to repeat within the scripture. Let's repeat it. Yeah. Just like Peter. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Then Peter said exactly what he needed. So I knew what he needed. He needed the hernia to disappear. So I lay hands on it. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I curse you, hernia. Yes. And I command you to die and wither and disappear. Yes. Now, when we pray for somebody, sometimes we understand that might be a connection. A lot of people need a touch from us. You know, we believe that we have to lay hands at that always particular part. I know that we, as Christians, somebody got an ear problem, we lay our ear. Sometimes you got a shoulder problem, you lay hands on the shoulder. But there's sometimes like this young man that needed a touch of God. You don't have to go and be direct. You could just hold the hand. When you hold the hand, sometimes we think that an antibiotic does a better job than the anointing of God.
The anointing of God knows exactly where within the body needs to go. If there is a problem within the liver, right, and you're looking at that person, you're trying to figure out, where's the liver? You don't have to worry about that. Just let the grab the hand and say, in the name of Jesus, and speak and let the anointing of God that's within you go through that person's body, because he does a better job than the antibiotics Amen. That the doctor's going by. Yeah. Peter, in the name of Jesus, as a direct prayer, you know, sometimes we do that, and we do that sometimes because we feel that we have to say, God, I this is my first time, I don't know. And I was nervous. You will get nervous. If you'll never pray for somebody for the first time for healing, it's nervous. You feel it. My heart was beating. Man, all the beans that I ate the night before were roaring inside of me. And I was asking the Lord, Lord, I need it to come to pass. But we pray and believe in the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit move. I knew that God. We don't have to say, oh, God of the universe, and God of the sun, and the trees, and the chicken, and the rice. He knows who he is. We need to know who he is. We don't have to butter up God. Just go direct to the prayer, because in that moment, he's saying, go, son, speak. Go, daughter, lay hands. Open your mouth and say what you need to say in my name. In my name. In the name of Jesus. And let it flow through it. Well, when he did that, oh, I could see, I could feel the presence of God. But then after that, it was silent. It was only him and I. And he said, X, he's still holding his hands in the air. He said, what do I do now? I said, well, I really don't know. Usually they cut the show and then they pick up an offering. So I never see the ending. So I don't know what happens. And I said, well, what do I do? I said, well, check yourself. How do we know this? Because of Peter. The Bible tells us that when he did that, then there was an action. Look what verse 7 says. It says, and then he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Who did that? Peter did that. There needed to be a prayer with an action. Again, we could pray and not do anything. Many of us have been guilty about that. I'll pray for you, but not do anything. Somebody needs, you know, food in the refrigerator. You see, I'll pray for you. But what is your faith when you go to a grocery store and come up with a full bag to fill the refrigerator? Or do an action when you lay hands and says, okay, now your knee, let that knee take place. Say, do something you couldn't do before. That's what Peter did. He picked them up. There was an act. Every prayer of faith needs to have an act of action. You pray in the name of Jesus, so do something you couldn't do before. And it could be something as simple like that. See, I know that Peter was aggressive. He took him from the right hand and lifted him up. Now, you might not have that boldness in that moment. Maybe you could say, do something you couldn't do before. If you pray for somebody's knee, can you turn the knee? If somebody's back, can you turn the back? We have seen many miracles come to pass. I was in Georgia, and we prayed, and there was a lady that got in an accident, and for 9 months she was in a using crutches. For 9 months. They understood that there was a hernia in between within her spine. But the Lord told me to go and tell her to come over and leave the crutches. Now, that was a bold move. But I knew it was of God. So in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I said, I curse that hernia in your spine. And as you walk, it will disappear. It was bold. Now, this is America. But I believe God. I said, ma'am, would you? And she looked at me. And when she let go of the crutches, she started to walk. And you could see her face. And she goes, I still feel the pain. And after the third walk, all of a sudden, she said the pain disappeared. She started bending down for 9 months. The pastor had to go in. That was an act of faith. It had to be done by me telling her, walk, woman. And she to say, yes, and walk. And all of a sudden, it became a miracle. The Lord still does that today. But we must pray and act unto it. So I told him, do something you couldn't do before. So he started moving. He picked up a box, Oh, I don't feel the pain, X. Now, before that, you talk about Miami in a warehouse. It's always humiliating and hot. So all the males that were working there always had to have this type of basketball shorts because that's, well, it was labor. And those basketball shorts are the ones that were stretchy. So he picked it up, he stretched himself, and he looked. And he said, X, it's gone. It's gone. Look. I said, I believe you. You know, and all of a sudden, something happened there. The Bible tells us that when that occurred, he stood up quickly. Verse 7, and immediately the feet and the ankles received strength. Verse 8, so he leaping up, stood, walked, and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him. When that occurred, we have to celebrate in moments like that. We have to celebrate. Take a moment and praise break when the Lord does a miracle or healing. Even in that moment of the word. He said, I'm healed. I said, praise God. I'm like, no way. Because I couldn't even believe it. I was like 50-50. You know, and all of a sudden, there was a miracle that happened. And it was an excitement inside that him and I grabbed our and we both jumping around in the back of the warehouse. And we said, praise Jesus. Because the Bible says, that leaping, verse 10, that they all knew that it was he who set begging arms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder. Who was filled with wonder? The people. When he came out of that, he came out with a smile. People that knew that he has talked about within them. Let me tell you, when somebody gets touched by God, they can't stay quiet. They can't stay quiet. They will continue to say, listen, I don't know. Yeah. And you don't have to be there to explain anything.
Yeah.
You're just there to glorify Jesus with them and say, Lord, use me again. Can you imagine how I felt when I got out of that warehouse and he's praising God, telling his coworker, listen, God did something in the back. Jesus did. I just felt, praise God. God, you could use me again. I started walking around, started looking at some other coworkers. Do you have a hernia? Do you have a hernia? What about you? You got a hernia? Who has a hernia here that goes in the back? I wanted to see God move again. Do we want to see God move again?
Amen.
I want to see God move again. Because he never stopped.
Amen.
God never stopped moving in America. Yes. We just let him. We stopped him moving through us. Our boldness kind of died out. Our aggressiveness kind of died out. We became quiet and mean. No, we have to be bold.
Yes.
Once again, say, God, I want you to use us in this final great awakening. I'm not satisfied where I'm at. Where I am right now, I need more of God. This world needs more God. America needs more. South Carolina needs more of God. And just like the great awakening that passed through here through John Wesley, he could pass it through you. Because the Bible tells us that this lame man that was placed in front of the temple heard every song that was sung, every preaching and teaching from the rabbi, because he was outside the door. He knew the songs by memory. He knew everything, yet not know the author that they were talking about. When I told this man, I want you to come to with me to church. I want you to know that Jesus that healed you. He told me, X, I'm the drummer of my church. Because you're the drummer of your church. Yeah. Well, I was raised in church. I'm a drummer of the church. I know Jesus already. You knew Jesus already? And you made me go through all that stress to go back in the back and pray for you. Because not everybody that goes to church knows Jesus. Just like the lame man. There's many that have not encountered our Lord. And he takes Peter's and John, just like you, to take back Jesus out
and preach the gospel outside. For the great awakening needs people to bring that to come to pass. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Done.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. I'm going to bring you back up in just a second.
Yeah.
Well, those of you here last week, you got Acts 3 twice. You didn't know that I ministered on that last week. So anyway, you just confirmed it. But you preached it much better than I did, honestly. So there's a little fire there, amen. You know, the gift of evangelist needs to be imparted to us. And some of you in here are already evangelists. But you can tell when Acts was ministering that there was impartation going on. And impartation is much different than just being taught. You can be taught and go back out of here and be able to look at your notes and stuff like that. But impartation goes much deeper. And it causes you to be motivated by the Spirit of God to go out and get people saved. And, you know, you've been hearing it for, you know, however long you've been here, for every year or whatever, that it's outside the walls. And that's where the anointing's going to hit. And when the outpouring occurs in the dimension that's about to happen, you're going to light up. And I would, you know, these things are going to happen. I'm in touch with the street preacher, and I shared what happened to him last week. And you heard the recording, how he wanted the gift of prophecy, rather the gift of words of knowledge. I don't really know what happens, it just comes out. You can call it whatever you want. Anyway, he wanted that so badly, he said, will you please pray for me? And at the end of our mission, I laid my hands on him. My hands got super hot, and I know he received something. And then he goes out and he shares it. And I was telling everybody, I said, look, if you want to move in the Spirit, just do a blessing over someone, and then stop. And whatever comes into your spirit, just repeat it. And so he does this. And so he sees the results of it, and he stepped out. Well, I guess a couple of weeks went by, and now he's a street preacher, like I said, and now he's walking by. He's calling out names. And he said, there's I think he said, Josie. Is there a Josie here and a John or something like that? And you know, that's for me. And she comes up, and John was her dad. That's his past. And so he ministers what God had put in him and leads him to the Lord and so forth. But what I'm saying is this, when the outpouring occurs and the Lord positions you strategically to people who, you know, might need a serious healing like that. I mean, this guy was ministering in a bar and people were drunk and saw this guy get saved. And they saw the words of knowledge. And so that's you being positioned strategically. And you know, the kind of preaching is going to occur right then and there. So just be encouraged. Amen? Because God is going to move strategically. And just really appreciate the word because it had a real impact. You know, Jesus appeared to the disciples 40 days. 40 days he trained them before that miracle occurred. 40 days of being trained by Jesus. And I would submit to you that you could start that tomorrow. I'm preaching to myself. He wants to impart to us. He wants to become intimate with us. He wants to know you even more. Even though he knows everything about you, he wants to know you and you want to know him. And if you engage in that, he will train you. He'll take you to the next step because that's just who he is. And while he's doing that, you're going to hear those words, I love you.
Yeah.
And he told me that again today. I'm just going about my day, and all of a sudden, he's just there. I can't see him. But I know he's there because there's an absolute atmosphere of peace that only he can create. Isn't that good? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. God is so good. You know, Matt, I just want to give you a word of encouragement. You know, God's going to make of you streams. He's not going to just do it one way. He's going to do it many ways through you. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it's going to be whichever one is needed right at the right time. And you know this. There's a wall right now, and I see you up against it. And you're speaking to it, and you're doing everything. Fast or whatever. You just keep on trying to pound on that wall. But God says, I'm teaching you about patient endurance right now. And when you're not patient, endurance is going to kick in.
Thank you.
And when endurance isn't there, patience is going to kick in. But God says, I will give you the ability to overcome this, but you must first learn that word of patient endurance. And patience is a power, and so is endurance. And I've been saying this has been coming up in my spirit. I've been saying this really wherever I've been traveling, that trials, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Yeah. But the joy, it says, count it all joy when you enter various trials.
Thank you.
Joy is a power. It is not a feeling. It is not an emotion. And it is released in the trial when you have expectation of the understanding that the trial is there to conform you into His image. So now that the trial is there, you will break through this wall. But it is a trial. But you can come out of here tonight with the power of joy that is released in the expectation that, yeah, maybe this isn't what exactly, maybe I need a breakthrough, but you know what? I'm going to be joyful because it's conforming me into His image. And that changes the trial. So when we enter into trials, we rejoice because the Lord is there to conform us into His image. You will break through this. And you will have a promotion in the Spirit. Amen. And the word that comes out of you is going to come out like a fire. And it's a consuming fire, but it's a fire that will refine. God has given you a ministry to refine the body of Christ. So your word that comes forth out of your mouth will be a refining fires and fuller soap and clean people up, because the days are short and there's a demand right now, and God is going to give people to you who are serious about the Lord. They're not going to be wishy-washy or like that. They're going to be serious because the militancy of the Lord is in your midst. In Jesus' name, I declare.
Thank you. I receive.
So good.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. I want to give you a word of encouragement too. You know, I sit there looking at you and I hear that word lion in front of me. And God transitioning you into more of a lion. Amen. There's a little bit of reserve because the word of wisdom is through you, and there's a wisdom that God uses in you very, very strategically. You're one that sits back, you're one that observes, you're one where you let the discernment flow through you, and then you move into it. And that's the wisdom. Now that you've learned wisdom, God wants to put a sword in your hand. Amen? Because He couldn't put a sword in your hand until He first taught you wisdom. And now God is going to release in you the Lion of Judah. Amen?
Amen.
The Lion of Judah is the same thing that was in David. So when David confronted the giant, he didn't sit back. He ran at that giant.
Amen.
And there's an aggressiveness that God is developing in the midst of your spirit. And people will say, man, there has been a revolution that's gone inside of this brother because he is not the same. And God is raising up. And I just see in my spirit, I see an individual that God has put around you right now that kind of knows the Lord, but they haven't got all their, they got their feet kind of in the river, but they haven't been submerged yet. And you're going to lead them into that place. You're going to lead them into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because they've kind of got the traditions of man, but you're going to lead them into the things of the Spirit, because God is going to use you as a tool in their life. In Jesus' name,
amen.
I pray.
Amen. God, thank you.
So
thank you.
And these prophecies are being recorded on our website. Amen.
Thank you.
So you got it.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Amen.
I can't leave you out of this. Amen. And go on down the line.
Come on.
Amen. God is so good. Amen. Praise the Lord. I see the healing power of God going through you. Amen. It's just going to, it's like first going to trickle down through your mind. And it's going to go down into your body. Okay? Because God wants to give you a supernatural peace. Amen. I see shielding being placed around you because the enemy is trying to get in. He's trying to hook you through things in the past. And you've overcome so many things, you really have. And you kind of shove them back in there because you know the Lord and you know forgiveness. God has challenged you in this arena, amen, in the area of forgiveness. And you've had to forgive a lot, amen. But that's the training of the Holy Spirit. But God is going to change the perception of forgiveness. Because your forgiveness is something when we look on the cross, we see Jesus there, amen. But God is going to give you a vision of looking through His eyes.
Amen.
He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they need. Amen. And the hooks are going to pop out, and you're going to be set free. And that ministry of healing is going to spring forth like a river through you. Compassion is how you were moved consistently. You just have a love for people. You just want to touch people. And the stage is set. The platform is there. And now you're going to be able to spring forth in ministry. And that word I gave you about looking through His eyes is going to be passed on. Because that is a word of the body of Christ. And you're going to share it over and over and over again. And people are going to be set free because they've got unforgiveness in them, and they're literally being tormented in their mind. Amen?
Amen.
This is so good. Lord, just bless you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Ezra, come on up here, buddy.
Come on.
Come on up here. Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for my brother, Lord. What a blessing he is. Amen. Amen. You know that God is going to do a work in you with your music. Amen. And you're going to, God is going to move through you in words of knowledge. Amen. And you're going to move strongly in the gift of prophecy. But God is going to give you melodies. Just like you were being on the spatula, you're now entering into a new phase of your ministry. You're going to sing prophetically over people. You see what I'm doing right now? You're going to sing prophetically over people. And the Holy Spirit's going to train and teach you in your secret place. And you're going to find exactly that tune where you can speak and it will minister to people one after another after another. For you have a unique ministry. And God is doing a unique thing through you. Amen. God was so good. Now, Lord, I just thank you for my brother. Yes, I put my hand on you. I see the Lord surrounding you with good friends.
Amen.
I mean, these are friends that will be friends for life. And I don't know if it's something you cried out for, if it's something that you need, but God knows that you need it, and so he's going to deliver. So I just want to encourage you that these friends are friends for life. They're not rude. They aren't, you know, you know how it is, okay? But they're people that will build up. Because God has protected you sovereignly. I mean, I see Psalm 91 over you. You've been protected. And, you know, from people, they, you know how they are, you know? They talk about this, talk about this. Remember, they said that it says in the Word that they hated him without a cause. And so just understand that some of the things you've been experienced are not you. It's not who you are. It's the fact that you have the Lord inside you. Amen? And the perception, the mirror that God is going to give you is the mirror of his Word. That is your identity. That is who you are. God says, do not drink out the reflection of your of the mirror. Don't drink out the reflection like you know, Gideon's army did. Remember, they one drank one way, one drank another way? Because God says, stop evaluating yourself. Allow me to speak to you. Allow him words, because he is your mirror. The reflected glory of God is going to be seen on you as you minister. You know, so many things aren't going to mean 10 years from now, but I don't think the Lord's going to come back before that. So I want to encourage you. He has prepared you. He has positioned you. Let that gift begin to flow through you. Amen. You sing a blessing over someone, and then the Lord is going to move inside of you. Amen. And you're going to hear the word of the Lord, and you're going to speak it time and time again. Lord, I thank you for my brother. Fill him up to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. That which you give him, Holy Spirit, I thank you, give it to him now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. God is so good.
Amen.
I want X to minister over everybody. I want the prophetesses or prophet you give. Just come up here right now, real quickly. Michelle, Doug, come up here. Okay, just one person. But if God gives you more than one person, come up, Michelle. If God gives you more than one person, then you'll get them after. Just point them out, and we'll get them. I want X to be released right now. Amen. Come up, Jerry, you got a prophetic gift.
Can I just add one thing to Ezra's prayer?
Yeah.
Is that the worship team would lead the armies into battle.
Amen.
They were the ones up front. Yes. And God is raising you up to be a mighty warrior of God.
Thank you.
And when you sing praises, the enemy scatters.
Amen.
So you keep praising.
Thank you.
With everything that's in you.
Amen. A little prophetess over there kept popping out her. Amen. God is so good. Amen. Doug, you got something?
Yeah, I got. Matt, in late 1987, early 88, I was ministering in a church in Bishopville. There was a big guy like you sitting on the front pew. I said, brother, you've been a hellraiser all your life. And God's going to use you to raise people who are currently where you used to be out of darkness and into his marvelous light.
Yeah.
And that guy turned out to be the state chapter president of Hell's Angels in his previous thing. And God has brought about a major transformation in you. We're called to be Christ-like, brother. And even as X was speaking before, there's different aspects of God's character that we're supposed to embody in our Christ-likeness. Brother, you got the strong part down. God gives strong men little girls to teach them how to be tender. But the Word says that it's your kindness, Lord, that leads us to repentance. And the Lord says that as your character is changed to be more reflective of your Savior, that's going to be your hallmark that people are going to notice. And they're going to say, that's not who Matt used to be. That's who Matt is now. And it's going to be that change that's going to draw people and attract people, because they're going to see the supernatural change that occurred within you.
Thank you.
And that's going to be the hallmark of who your ministry is. Because God wants you to be exactly who you're called to be. Be a father to those kids and the other six. To be the man that brings stability and security to her that she prays like all wives do. And the Lord says that I'm going to bring about a change in all the things in the natural as well as the spiritual. That you're going to see a financial uprising, says the Lord, that's going to bring stability and security and peace. That you don't have to worry, you don't have to look to the left or the right, but the Lord says, I will be your Jehovah Jireh, your provider, says the Lord.
Thank you.
I have one scripture for two people, so I'm going to give it to him first, which is Isaiah 50, verse 7, in the part where it says that I have my face turned like flint, and Jesus did it because nothing was going to turn him back from the call. He knew he was going to the cross. He knew it was going to be hard. And it was not going to be an easy task. He knew he was going to have to deal with people and the humanness and all the stuff in this world. The Lord has made you like flint. It's not your heart that's like flint, but he's made you like the plow for all the people that are coming behind you, so that you are strong enough to endure to the end what he has for you. And there's nothing that is going to turn it back. The devil may stop. He may try to come against you. He may tempt you, just like Job, just like Jesus. But there's nothing, because you have set your face like flint. You know who the Lord is and what he's done and what he's going to do. And that strength is going to carry you. And the first part was for this man, and for the Lord will help me, therefore I will not be disgraced. And then the face, and I know that I will not be ashamed. And the Lord is saying that there's things that have, passed or whatever, but you're not going to be ashamed. As you step out and in the places that there are people maybe who backstabbed you or trashed you or misaligned, but he's saying he's not going to do that to you. He's not going to do that to you. And anyways, just go for it.
Amen.
And then there's somebody who needs healing. This man.
Go ahead, go back.
Amen.
Yes.
This helper, what are your names?
Norma?
David?
The Lord is going
set you free from some generational religious curses. There's way back in your family line, like worship of Mary, and you know, different things that are actually holding you back right now. We break that off right now. In Jesus' name, you are free. Are you friends with? Is he your friend? No. Well, maybe he's him. But
thank you, Jesus.
As
she was speaking, Michelle was speaking over you, talking about being the plow, the flint, and everything. God has just given me the picture of the business principle, the tipping point. There's people who adopt things in a way, they're early adopters and everything, and then it becomes a tipping point, and everything's just begin to flow. And you've been through the hard part of the wave of God calls you to be part of. And I just see things begin to tip, and you're just going to be able to see things flow where you just see a multiplication of what it is that God's been doing.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.
I wish you in Jesus' name.
And you'll be able to tell the real Jesus stood up in my life. The real Jesus set me free. Because not, you know, the traditions of men and so forth. And so many people up in our country and all over the world, you know, Satan doesn't mind if you've got religion, because that doesn't set anybody free. In fact, that keeps you captive.
Hallelujah.
Karen, God is going to bring some real healing to you. You've been through so much, Jesus. So much. And you don't realize it, but you're still trying to prove that somehow, I'm good enough. Will somebody see I'm good enough? You are good enough. You are good enough. Just right where you are. You are written on the palm of his hand. You're the apple of his eye. Everywhere he looks, he sees Jeremy. Because you're right there in his eye. And you don't have to prove anything to anybody. All those people that rejected you, we break off the spirit of rejection. You are delivered from that. You are his beautiful, beautiful bride, his beautiful daughter. And you don't need him. I mean, it's good if it's good. Especially if it's not a script that I'm going to do. Sorry, man. But let Jesus be your bridegroom. And speak things and whisper things in your ear that you haven't yet heard, and just embrace it and let him do all that work. He's doing that in each of you. We all need it, man. God is so good.
Amen.
Sorry. Sorry about that. A little levity.
That's okay. You've been home for a while.
I may just point your hands to X. Lord, I just thank you for my brother here, God. Thank you, Jesus. What a blessing he is. Lord, he has blessed us tonight, Lord. And Holy Spirit, I know that there's a rewards that come from you and promotions that come from you. Lord, I just thank you that my brother, like me, I know he moves in the gift of healing, Lord. But Holy Spirit, that which is on me, I put him on my brother in Jesus' name. He will flow like a river in words of knowledge, words of wisdom, words of prophecy, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to sharpen his giftings even as he leaves his place tonight. He's going to know some things as he dreams at night, Lord God. The gift of discerning of spirits will begin to function in a greater measure. Because the Lord says, I'm going to show you what you're up against. I'm going to allow you to see into the spirit just as I did when I was here. Remember the pigs? Remember the demons? They wanted to go into the pigs. I saw them. I saw the legion. God's going to allow you to see in that realm. God's put many two swords in your hand, brother. You've got the wisdom of God. You've learned. And God's going to give you countries. Yeah. And you're going to prophesy over the nations. And then it's going to come to pass very quickly. For God says, I'm doing a quick work in the earth. I'm doing an acceleration.
Yes.
And God's going to put you right in the midst of it. time and time and time again, out of your own mouth, you're going to know what I'm doing in the nations. You're going to know what I'm doing in the communities. You're going to know what I'm doing in the governments that I send you to. For this is a new authority that I place on you. These are new clothes. God says you've not gone this way before, but I'm opening up new doors to you. For the doors that I open, no man is going to be able to shut. But the Lord also says, I'm going to shut some doors because I've got you in my hand. I'm putting a light unto your path, and you are going to be like an arrow in my hand, and you're going to hit the target every time. Because God has sharpened you, he's put feathers on you, and he's put a point on you, and he's just drawn back, and he is shooting you as a bow. Time and time again, you're going to see breakthrough, and revivals are going to occur. Not just in the midst when you're there, they're going to occur when you leave. For God says in my word, I said, these signs shall follow those that believe. For my presence will stay and it will remain. It won't be just when you're there, but it will be when you leave. And you will hear the report, and even now, so now you're hearing reports of what God is doing and the impact that I did through you. Because you understand that I am the head of my church. And you have gotten out of the way and you've allowed me to move. God says, I am going to bless you. I am blessing your family even now. For I'm going to do an economic thing in your family that you are even going to believe. You say, Lord, how in the world is this happening? It's coming in like a river. And God is going to give you the ability to be able to give in a way that you've never given before. So God says, you've given your life. You've given your heart, but God says, I'm going to put some seed in your hands because you know there's some things you've been asking for. Lord, I need something here. I got to have it. I want to build this. I want to do this and that. And God says, because you've asked this in your heart, I give it to you tonight. In Jesus' name, I declare. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. God is so good. Now, I just want to tell you, that's going to get here. I'm going to pray for as many people as want to come up. If you just want to touch, that's fine. You need healing in your body. You just want to receive the impartation of the evangelist. Whatever it might be, just kind of flow a line. He'll go on down the line. And whatever God puts in his heart, he's going to say. But if you got to go, that's fine. You're not going to insult me or anybody else. When you go out, just be as quiet as a mouse. Amen.
I'm going to jump in for a burial stuff.
Yeah.
I need some healing, brother.
Yes, yeah, sir. We need healing, man of God.
I want to get prayed for it.
We need healing, man of God. In what area do you need healing?
Gosh. So much right now. Our home had like mold in it. It caused me to get real sick. Caused my blood pressure to go up to 190 over 130. Mm. You know, I'm tired all the time. I've got weariness and everything. God called me to do so much, and I'm just so tired and weary all the time.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, this is good.